Welcome back, Hoops HD fans, to another episode of our Bracket Rundown Show. We've got a very full panel tonight. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs.
Yes.
Matt Zukowski back with us for the first time in quite a while, since I think the preseason. Yeah. Welcome back, Matt. Below on the second row here, we've got a panel of bracketology experts, actually. We've got both Rocco Miller and John Titel, who are two of the top-rated bracketologists nationally. John Titel is, I think, in the top four or five nationally. Rocco slightly behind him, but still way up there. And Joby Forts in the middle, who does our JNG ratings. Those are the number one computer. That's the best computer bracketologist in the entire world, correct?
That is correct.
Yep.
Yeah, for the last 5 years.
And then we have David over here.
I've got the number one puppet rankings. I beat out every single puppet out there.
You're also dead last, David.
No, I'm not.
I think Kermit the Frog disagrees, but
yeah.
This is our Bracket Rundown Show, where what we do is we do two of the three steps that the actual NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does. We will be choosing a field of 68 tonight and ranking them 1 through 68.
Yes.
When our show is done, we're going to actually create the bracket. It's down there. Do not look yet.
Yeah, here. Don't look.
Our show.
Yeah, it we do two of the three things the committee does. We do not do them at all the same way the committee does it for the sake of the show. If we did it the way they did it, we would be here for 4 days.
Yes, we do it in very we do the first two steps together at once, very quickly. But we do it on a screen here that I'm going to pull up in about 3 seconds. Yeah. Should be coming up on the screen. We see a list of 1 through 68 there. What I'm going to be doing is going to each of our experts here and to David and asking them to give me four teams. We will then have a bit of a debate about it. And I will act as the arbiter if there's no consensus and go ahead and make any final decisions. And then we'll move on to the next four teams, the next seed line, as you will.
Yes.
Four teams in each seed line here, all the way down. We should end somewhere around the 12 line, and then we'll fill in the single bid leagues with 13 to 16 seed lines when we're done.
Yeah. Chad, one more point of emphasis, because you always forget this. For the sake of this exercise and for the show, we are not trying to guess what the actual committee will do on Selection Sunday or speculate what they would do today. At least I'm not. Like, this is what we think it should be if we were the committee.
Well, that and David, that's why your puppet rankings are so awful, because you're guessing what you think you should do. But
well, no,
I won't get into that.
I am 100% right at guessing what I think it should be.
Just a quickly, some terms we might use tonight. We may use the term protected seed. What we mean is the top four seed lines, the top 16 teams in the nation, the teams that will be favored to make the Sweet 16. We might use the term first ballot team. That basically means the top eight seed lines, the teams that will be favored to win their first game, at least in the NCAA tournament. And if we use some other crazy terms as we go ahead, we will try to define them. Also, as we fill teams in here, you see there are four columns after the spot where we're going to fill team names in. Net is the NCAA's net ranking. POM, that's the KenPOM rankings, which is one of the top other metrics out there. SOS is a team strength, the schedule. And the JNG ratings, Joby, those are your ratings. We're going to have them on the screen tonight with us. So you can give us a little insight into them, too, as we go ahead, if need be. On that note, though, Joby, why don't you start things off? I know you missed our show last week, so why don't you tell me who the top four teams
are. The one line for me is a little easier than the other protected seed lines, as a matter of fact, so I'll do it. Baylor, start off for the Baylor Bears, best team in America.
What? I believe it. Oh, way overrated.
Zags. Go the number one team in the polls, number two in your hearts. I'm going to say the undefeated San Diego State Aztecs here. That brings some debate. But
yeah, Rocco's selling the banner up there.
Yeah, and then let's round out with a very strong depth of the Kansas State.
Well, this is an interesting, very interesting. Joby, I got to ask you, first of all, Gonzaga – your computer rankings have them number eight in the nation. Shouldn't even be on this line or even close to this line.
Well, Gonzaga, you know, because of the conference they play in, have not collected a ton of wins against teams in the field, which is a factor, et cetera, for a lot of folks. But I will say I'm in the top two. They are in the top two lines, which is better than most computer metrics that are resume based. As you can see from, as you can see, even KenPom, which is not resume based, it's based a lot of projection and efficiency based, is it's very similar. And the net is within range of me too. I expect as other teams take losses, if Gonzaga continues to win, their ranking will go up. If Kansas takes, for instance, takes another loss, a random loss at Texas or something, and or a loss in Waco. Actually, it's probably the more realistic one. Those losses will accumulate and allow Gonzaga, who will continue to win against, which is not a extremely poor WCC, to have a resume that probably will rise them not to number one, but up from that eighth spot.
One of the things about Gonzaga this particular year, it just seems to me that when you compare them to previous seasons, their out-of-conference schedule certainly had some heavyweights on it, but it wasn't like eight or nine really tough teams in like six times. I mean, by the end of the year, they had played about as many top 25 teams as someone in a power conference would, or close to it. It didn't seem quite as tough.
There's only one surefire team in the field that they've beaten, though a lot win at Arizona is extremely impressive. And Arizona most likely.
Well, Oregon, that's pretty good.
Most likely make our field. Yeah. But it's but Oregon and Arizona are really the only ones in Rocco. Yeah, we'll discuss your Washington Huskies. They did play them when they were at full strength, though.
Look at that Baylor profile.
Matt, let me bring you in here on this idea of Gonzaga. I got the team sheets up now. You can see wins are in the blue on the left column for two teams on the board here. Losses on the right. Remaining schedule is the third column, and a lot of the other metrics are up here at the top. KPI, a metric that's on the NCAA team sheets, at 23 for the Zags, way down there. But Matt, what is your thought on Joby's one line? And do the Zags and do San Diego State really belong up here?
The Zags definitely do. I had a clear top two, Baylor and Gonzaga, mm-hmm. in that order. I think the Zags definitely do, because I like, now that they're three good wins, they're all away from home, which I think is a little bit of a differentiator.
Yeah, road wins.
I think they do that. I had San Diego State on the two line, but I actually towards the back of my two line. Now, the team I haven't replaced them is going to be one of our most befuddling ones, I think, all year, and that would be the Duke Blue Devils, because they're amazing in the metrics. They've got some real nice wins away from home with Kansas, Michigan State, and they have the not great losses. Although SFA, I think that's actually, I probably have less on that than I do the losing at Clemson, even though I know conference game and it's technically still right around quad one, quad two. But
Rocco,
I probably like the SFA team better than I do the Clemson one.
Well, Rocco, let me ask you there. Here's San Diego State on the right that you've got the banner on. There's Duke on the left. Does Duke belong up here? I mean, those top four wins there are very good wins. They're way better than anything San Diego State has done, aren't they?
They're better wins. Hard to dispute that. I think if this were the situation at the end of the year, of course, if Duke were still only at two losses, they would have a ton of more good wins, having the opportunity to play the Florida States and the Louisvilles of the world. San Diego State not getting those opportunities. But I think if San Diego State ran the table and Creighton, Iowa, and BYU are all solid tournament teams like they look like they are right now, hard to argue against San Diego State. Now, I guess we're splitting hairs. I think if they're both one seed, San Diego State's taking over the West and Duke's still going to Greensboro. So I don't really have a strong argument either way. I can see the good in both. I think San Diego State definitely deserves to be rewarded, though.
Well, Tytel, let me bring in this question. Again, San Diego State. How about Kansas? We haven't discussed them much. I mean, does Duke belong up here, or did Joby get it right?
I think Joby got it right. So, like,
ooh,
yeah.
Thank you. That's nice. That's a big compliment.
I agree with that too. So
I figure Virginia fans need all the help they can get right now.
Sorry. Oh, low blow. Low blow.
So close last night. Oh,
usually it's something where there's like seven to eight teams in the mix, and you pick the four that have outshined the best. For me this week, it's about looking at teams that have fallen off. Like if Auburn was undefeated, but they're not. If Duke had beaten Clemson on the road, but they're not. Like I can find holes in so many teams that I think these four are the best of a otherwise bad situation with everybody else.
I like this San Diego State team. If I were to take somebody off, it would be them. I have them very, very high. And I I one of the things you can say about them is that they have not just won, but won handily against a tough, not excruciating schedule, but a tough schedule, and they've basically beaten everyone at arm's length. But when you look at Duke and the fact that they've beaten multiple probable protected seeds and San Diego State hasn't beaten any, I just can't – maybe this is looking at it categorically, but to me, to land on the one line, you need to beat a protected seed away from home. And San Diego State won't do that.
And we are doing this exercise as of right now, and just want to really quickly point out here, Duke has a chance to put a lot more good on their profile. San Diego State – all they're going to do the rest of the season is avoid bad losses.
Yeah, and that's really an unfortunate that is a circumstantial disadvantage. Did I say that right? I can't talk today. But that San Diego State has. But, no one's going to argue that San Diego State shouldn't be on the two line or in the field at all. I mean, they're going to get the chance to prove it in the tournament. But when you look at the paper, Duke's is just better. Kansas on a neutral floor at Michigan State. That's a little better than BYU and Iowa and Creighton. But San Diego State is good.
And the other thing is they're beating teams by double digits that are good. Off that out-of-conference. I think BYU is the only one inside of 10 points of all those, that Iowa Creighton.
Yeah, and it's hard to win at BYU. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you what, we could probably do it about another hour on the one line, but we do have another 15 more lines to get through in the show. So I think that Joby, you nailed it with the one line. It seems like the consensus is there. So, Matt, why don't I run over to you here for the two line? Give me the
Joby, if Chad agrees with you, that's a sure sign that you got it wrong.
Actually, Ty Tell agreed with him, so.
I'll definitely have Duke as my top two seed.
Yeah.
I'd have Butler, I'd have West Virginia, and I'd have Oregon.
Butler, West Virginia, and Oregon. And just as a quick note, we are recording this around 9:50 p.m. on Thursday the 16th. As we are recording this, Oregon is in a tough road battle at Washington State, but we are not factoring that in unless it goes final before we're done tonight.
We might do an on-air scrub.
But, Rocco, what do you think of those four teams on the two line?
I completely agree with Matt. That's the same order I would have them in for these four teams. I've had West Virginia and Oregon 7-8 since last week. They've done nothing but improve that status, and teams like Auburn fell. So makes it even more of a sure decision for me.
Tytel, you want to disagree?
I don't want to disagree. I do want to have Florida State under consideration.
Yes.
Just to look at their very, very.
Yeah, now who's Tytel agreeing with? Yeah.
I can't say that any of Matt's picks are bad. I think those are perfectly fine. But even though Florida State has a lot more double-digit numbers as opposed to a lot of the single digits here, I think there should be under consideration for the two line.
Well, I'm going to bring somebody else in here because we have just had our good friend John Stalika, who was a little bit late tonight, join the show as well. And Stalika, if you are there, what is your thought on this? Does Florida State belong up over a team like Oregon?
Florida State is certainly going to be worthy of consideration when you look at the fact they've had some very nice wins away from home. When you look at Louisville and then Tennessee and Florida, the only real knock against the Noles at this point probably would be the loss at Pitt, but at this point in the season, everyone's going to have a few warts on here. I still think Oregon should be on the number two line for now, but obviously should they lose to the Cougars, I would have the Seminoles next in line.
Well, this is maybe been the easiest two line we've ever done in the history of the show.
You need to have Florida State up there.
Well, David, I was going to go for you for the three line, but because you had to disagree, Tytel, you want to give us the three line?
How come he gets to go?
I give the host the credit. You know that. Let's see here. I want the Seminoles to be in. Who else do we like here? If we do not have Auburn in, I think I want to put them here because obviously it was a bad loss last night in Tuscaloosa, but stuff happens, and if that's their only loss this season, I think it's perfectly fine. I think I want Sparty in here. They certainly had a trouncing at Purdue's hands recently. I think that you can say everybody, like John said, everybody's warts. That was a pretty ugly freaking wart, but the numbers still look good to me. As far as the fourth, I think there's a lot of teams in consideration. I'll mix it up. I think Dayton and Seton Hall are both in play here. I'll go Dayton just because it's a nice story and because they had a great win over VCU the other night.
Joby.
Go ahead.
Joby, can I get your thoughts on that, especially this Auburn profile? Your J&G still has him as number four.
I think they'll drop in a day with the new net numbers a little bit. They're not going to drop dramatically. They're still probably going to be in the two seed line. They'll drop from that four, but probably down to like five or six. It's because they only have one loss. And if they finish the year, it's what John said. If they finish the year with only one loss, then the resume will take care of itself, but also records matter. That's why San Diego State gets credit, et cetera. Your overall loss number actually does matter in my mind and the committee's mind when you as a verification fact.
Okay. This is where I understand that their record is good, but their schedule is decent at best. Mississippi State is not going to make our field, I don't think. St. Louis might be around the bubble. Georgia might be around the bubble. Yeah, like when you're talking about a three line, we're going to talk about 10 teams that have a much, not just better, but substantially better top of the resume than Auburn. And you have to ask yourself, are there 25 teams or 20 teams that would be undefeated if they'd only played, you know, games against bubble teams, and that was the best thing on their schedule?
I'd say that, you see, and that's the thing is, I say no. I think teams slip up, have bad days, and slip up. I think a lot of the teams we've mentioned would not. San Diego State has proven they wouldn't. They probably wouldn't.
Well, Auburn didn't think teams slip up yesterday.
Florida State out of the sky. Just almost lost at home to an NIT team yesterday. I mean, plain and simple. They're on the ropes. If that NIT team had anyone who could shoot a three-pointer instead of going 1-for-20, then they would have lost.
You know, I hate to take David's side in an argument here, but I want to do something real quick here. I'm going to keep Auburn up there on the left side of the screen. I want to put another one-loss team, Liberty, up here on the right-hand side of the screen.
Beat Akron.
Which team has more wins against the team that's going to potentially be in the field? Guess what? Neither one does. It's the same. I mean,
Auburn's resume is substantially better than
Liberty's. No, Liberty's losses was against a better team than Auburn lost to. So, I'm not saying Liberty's a better team than Auburn, but I don't think – I could definitely see the argument for Auburn moving down. But let me get a few more
takes. I do think Liberty should be inside the bubble, though.
Let me get a few more takes on this. Matt, how about you? You know, does Auburn belong up here?
No, I have them actually after that loss. I have them outside my protected seeds, precisely because they've beaten no one of real note. And I actually had Seton Hall on the three line, so they were a good shout here, just not below an Auburn team that's done zilch.
Rocco, how about you? Should Auburn move down?
I'm okay with Auburn being on the three line still. I mean, it is always about the body of work. You can't single out a single result, especially on the road in the SEC. I'll wait to make that determination about Auburn when they play a few more big games. But for the time being, I'm good with them. I am a big proponent, though, of Seton Hall. I think what they've done, especially recently, still without Sandro in the lineup, has been beyond impressive. Winning at Butler, the only team to do that all year.
Yes.
Also, they have three Big East road wins already, which I don't think anybody has. They're undefeated in the Big East. Arguably the best conference. I think they at least belong on the three line right now.
Okay, you just gave not just a reason, but a list of reasons as to why they're better than Auburn.
And I have them above Michigan State as well.
Real quick, as a tiebreaker here, I think I know where we're going, but Stalika, does Auburn belong on the three line or do they go down?
I would have Seton Hall, and I would even have Villanova above Auburn. So I say put the Pirates in and knock the Tigers out. So,
sorry, Tytel, we're going against the expert, and we're going David, I'm going to turn to you for the four line here. Like I said, Auburn under consideration, but we got Dayton and Seton Hall there into the three line along with Michigan State and Florida State.
Yeah, and we're entering an area to where I felt pretty good about my top three lines. I think, believe it or not, everybody, it isn't necessarily the same order, but my top 12 are already in there. We're going off in a different direction, but I'd like to see them do a little more on the road, but I have Villanova at number 13. Again, I think that their wins are pretty good. I know that they're coming off of a loss, and it was sort of an ugly loss. I still have Wichita State all the way up here. This is a team that is more – I think this is as much of a projection as it is merit, but they have certainly earned a lot of merit lately after limping out. I have Wisconsin up here simply because, well, from top to bottom, some of the bottom is bad, but the top is really good. And because I just couldn't find anybody else that seemed like a protected seed, I still have Ohio State up here, and I'm really holding my nose with that one.
Sleek, let me start with you on this. And you want to tell us why Wisconsin does not belong here or anything else about what David's four picks are, which does not include Auburn?
I think Wisconsin, frankly, has too many losses against teams that probably aren't going to be in the field when you look at teams like Richmond, New Mexico, and NC State. Yes, they do have some wins at Tennessee, at Ohio State, at Penn State that help, but by the same token, they're going to be a hard team to play, so I think they're more in the 6 or 7 seed range right now, but they're not a protected seed just yet would be my qualifier.
Yeah, and who would you have in there? Auburn?
Right now, if I had to, I probably would have Auburn in there instead.
Right. Well, Matt, what do you think on this debate?
Yeah, I think a lot with Wisconsin, I think it's still a lot of too high for Wichita. They've been playing nicely, but again, their resume, it's not super thin, but there's not a lot on there. One team they're also playing now, it's tied at the half, I sneakily like, is Colorado. Mm-hmm. Got the neutral court win over Dayton, and now the win over – even it's a home win, it's a win over Oregon. We have a 2 seed. So it's a couple real nice wins they got on their resume, and their metrics are roughly in line where this is.
Joby, what do you think? Wichita State versus Colorado, who should be on this line?
I think they're both – I think – why don't we split the difference and say Matt and David, you're both right. What the hell is Ohio State doing there?
Okay.
You could put both teams. I'd be probably fine with both teams.
They got that win at North Carolina.
Over in the Wisconsin spot. And then Ohio State should be out for – both of those teams that were listed. I like both.
Well, here's where I'm going to disagree, though.
Okay, let's go to Sleeka first.
Yeah.
Okay, at home, granted, but they did blow out both Villanova and Penn State when they were playing pretty well. And their best win away from home was in Vegas against Kentucky. So not a true road win, but I'll certainly give them some brownie points for that one.
Tytel, what do you think on this whole debate here? Because we now have, I think, 7 teams that we are discussing here, 6 teams at least, Villanova, Wichita State, Ohio State, Auburn, Wisconsin, Colorado. I'm kind of being convinced here that Ohio State does not belong in this line, that Wisconsin does not belong in this line. Where are you?
I want to convince you that Wichita State, after last night, does not belong in this line, losing.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, it's a solid resume, and I understand Temple's not terrible, but it's a loss to a team that I think as of today and as of 2 months from today is not going to make the tournament.
Well, Rocco, do you want to step in here? Because other than Villanova, I've heard every other team does not belong in this line.
No, they all belong on the line. It's time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually go with Villanova, Auburn, Louisville, and Maryland here.
Where are the wins away from home against anybody that's in the field? I mean, the one thing about the teams that I named is that they all have that.
Correct, and I agree with you, David, on that. This is a pretty mushy area between the 4-5. There's a lot of teams similar. Louisville doesn't have a lot that I like, but they just haven't had the major mess up yet. Whereas there's some blemishes with teams like Colorado and now Wichita. So it's more of just a kind of a nitpicky choice, and we're probably all going to be split on it.
Yeah. Well, like when you look at Maryland's like top 3 or 4 road wins, you realize that there's none.
Yeah, Louisville does have the road wins. They're not great road wins, but they're Pitt, Notre Dame.
Hey, they add up. They add up.
Those, well, and two of those three are, I do believe, will make the NIT, and you can laugh, but beating it, there's a reason why the net goes all the way to 75. They're trying to grab road wins against NIT level teams. I think you're going to see, as the ACC schedule goes on, that Pitt, Miami, Notre Dame, two of the three will make the top 75. They'll become tier one wins.
Yeah, and Maryland, you know, in their defense, all their losses were true road losses. They did beat Marquette down in Orlando, which, yes, it's not a true road win, but it's on another court. And they won that tournament with Temple and Harvard as well in that tournament. So
Temple did beat Wichita State as
well. Yeah, but so it looks a little better today.
Yeah, and it's just and again, like, no matter what prism you look through, the top two or three lines you're going to have, I think all of us will have 10 of the 12 the same. But, like, at this point, I just think, in my opinion, as a committee member, you need to win on the road. It's not it's way
harder. Well, we do need to get moving on here, so I am going to make kind of almost an arbitrary decision. I'm going to go with Villanova, Auburn, Louisville. And then we've got four teams left. We're going to flip a coin real quickly. Matt, give me the fourth team.
Of that, actually, Maryland, highest at Maryland. All right. One high to Colorado.
And Maryland. I think, Rocco, we end up with your picks here on the line here. I know David's not going to be happy about it.
No.
But Rocco, since you're Louisville, Maryland, made the fourth line, why don't you give me the five line also?
All right. I guess it's time for Ohio State. It's time for Wichita State.
I lost Ohio State, fell off the board entirely, but there they are back in. Okay, Wichita State.
It's probably time for Colorado.
Okay.
And, man, this doesn't – none of these feel good. I'm down to Michigan or Wisconsin. I guess I got to stick with Michigan, which either one I don't feel good about.
Michigan or Wisconsin. Needs a road win. Let me get some other thoughts on those.
Bahamas counts, right? Count the Bahamas.
Matt, let me start with you. Do you like these four teams here?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty much where I have. It's still a line higher than I had Wichita, but given some of these other alternatives, I'm looking at my board. I'm not going to be arguing that hard for them. So I'm actually, I kind of like this five line.
How about you, Tytel? Do you like the five line?
A lot more than the six line, because it's going to start getting ugly with a lot of teams who've lost this week. I would throw Stanford under consideration.
Good.
Certainly winning at UCLA is nothing to write home about this year, Rocco, but I think that their numbers are at least decent. The strength of schedule, obviously not so much. I don't have a problem with these four, although the best part of doing these things live is that if Colorado loses to Arizona State in an hour, then I think they go down.
Yeah, true. We're keeping an eye on these games here in Oregon as we speak, is down 8 at Washington State also. Yeah. Let me get one more opinion on this. Joby, what's your thoughts? Is there anybody else that should have been up?
Yeah, I think in order to avoid hate mail from Big Blue Nation, I think Kentucky – I would have Kentucky over Michigan in this spot. I like what Kentucky has. Some, they're inconsistent. I get it. They're kids, but Michigan has not been just amazing since the tournament, and the North Carolina win's looking worse and worse by the day. I think Big Blue, you know, Michigan State on neutral court, Louisville in a big rivalry game. I'm going Blue Nation.
I'm not certain, I mean, I guess they've run it one of the road, which Michigan has not done, but only one road win. But
yeah, it's a team we're going to be talking about too. I mean, we will talk Georgia. I'm not saying they're in, but they'll make that little under consideration list.
I went back and forth between these two, but what tipped it for me, and I literally have them one in front of the other, was Kentucky did have a road win.
Kentucky did have a road win, but Kentucky has a pathetically bad home loss, David.
True. Well, Evansville. We could do an hour show on Evansville. That might be a Kyle Lamb show.
And not just the Kentucky game.
Yeah, I know.
But
fair enough. I'm not offended either way.
I think we're going to leave this as it is, and I'm going to go to Stalika for our sixth line. We do have Stanford, Wisconsin, and Kentucky all under consideration at this point.
So I'm going to go ahead and make a few marks right here. Normally, I would have had Kentucky on the number five line, but because Angry Frank did a little sabotage on their profile, this is where I would have Kentucky right here. And I think it's also time to go ahead and add Penn State as well. Granted, I know they're on a three-game losing streak, but a win at Georgetown, a true road win, and also sort of a quasi-home win against Iowa, that's also going to help their cause. I would have the Stanford Cardinal in here that we had mentioned. And then fresh off their win against UC tonight, I'll go ahead and add the Memphis Tigers as well.
The Memphis Tigers coming in. So you still don't have David's Wisconsin team in that he wanted in
Wisconsin
five lives.
I mean, look at the top of Wisconsin's profile.
Let's take a look at the Memphis versus Wisconsin here, because Memphis is a team that this is the first time we've mentioned them. They did pick up a nice win over Cincinnati, but
How is that a nice win?
It was only Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's what, 9-7?
Matt, what do you think about this? Does Memphis belong in at this point, or what about Wisconsin with those four Tier 1 wins, three of them on the road?
Yeah, no, this is exactly where I have Wisconsin. I think a six seed's perfect for a team that's done a lot of good, some questionable. On the whole, the profile's pretty good. The metrics basically check out at 16 also, yeah. Way too early for a Memphis team that the metrics kind of like, but not – not 60 level, and I don't see the wins to kind of overcome the metrics. So this is way early for Memphis. And Stanford's one that net loves them, but, man, again, what have they actually really done? And
well, Stanford.
I think I'm bitter that I took out time to watch the Kansas-Stanford game and fell asleep during the second half of the great San Fran-Seattle football game.
Well, Matt, look at all of Stanford's nice wins. They've got San Francisco and Montana. I mean, if we're going to call Cincinnati a nice win, then Stanford's looking pretty damn good.
Let me bring up
here. If you have a win against San Francisco and Montana, why is Rice not in that profile?
Oh, my God.
And I love the fact that road win at UCLA only makes Tier 3. Think about that.
Let me bring in a Pac-12 guy here in Titel. Stanford, you're the first one to mention them, that huge hole at the top of the profile there. You know, is this where they belong despite that hole?
Great question. I think you can make a good argument, and I would lean yes. Again, like, the strength of schedule is not great. I would say if you're focusing on the lack of Tier 1, that's a fair focus. I would focus on the lack of Tier 2, 3, 4, or even Tier 1B. Who has a two-loss team with two better losses than Kansas and Butler?
Oh, I don't know. Let's compare them to Liberty.
Bring it.
Liberty's got a worse loss.
Let's see. Liberty has a better win and no losses below Tier 1A.
And they say that Tier 4 wins are easy. Well, if they're so easy, then why didn't Stanford have more of them? Look at all the Tier 4.
Stanford and Liberty are not that far apart on my board. Stanford's ahead, but it's not that far ahead.
But I think with all due respect, Stanford is more or less an in-between for Auburn and Liberty here.
Yeah.
I do have to make a decision here. What I'm going to do is bump Memphis, put Wisconsin in there, keep the puppet happy.
Yeah.
And I think let's move on to the 7 line. We do have Memphis, I guess, under consideration still at this point. And Joby, let me go back to you for the number 7.
You gave me the easiest way line down with the one seed. Now you gave me one of the toughest lines.
Yeah.
I like Creighton here. I know that. Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to go Creighton. It's just like picking shots.
Come on, you know you want to do it.
I fail to see why that's even a controversial pick. Creighton
is good. This is time to make Chad happy.
Damn good team.
Yeah.
I'll make Chad happy, too. Rutgers.
Let's do it. Rutgers. Do it.
No!
There it is! No!
I'm serious. Why not? I think that's fair.
The Scarlet Knights are in. The show is over. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Have a good night. Oh, okay. Let's put Rutgers in.
I like the run. This is, I know, a little off board a little bit from probably what everybody else is thinking, but I really like the run LSU's on after they were kind of a little dead and buried. It's a little bit of recency bias on them, but I do like what they're doing there. So I'm going to go LSU. Should I make another panelist happy with Matt? But I
objectively, you could take a few teams ahead.
Yeah. You know what? It's so tough.
The Lopes.
I'll divide. I'll go to Memphis and get the show moving. Oh, we can debate.
We'll put Memphis back up there. Let's have a little bit of debate on this side. We're going to move a little quicker through the next couple lines here because 7, 8, 9, 10 at this point in the season is really almost interchangeable. But Rocco, your thoughts on those four picks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty close on some of them. I don't have Rutgers this high, and I feel like I'm always put in the bad spot with Rutgers. Sorry, Chad, but
they're there. Oh, go
ahead. Iowa's put my next team on the board actually, and then I actually have Memphis and Creighton, and I'm doing my full breakdown later after the show, so I might change my mind by tomorrow morning. But I do still have Penn State hanging by a thread after Creighton.
Yeah, we got Penn State in actually in the sixth line. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't.
I think they're too high. But
Then my next team's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay. Let me see who else hasn't commented on this. Tytel, what are your thoughts? Should Iowa or Oklahoma be in here of one of these four teams?
No, I'm just gonna say like I don't like living in a world where Rutgers is in and Arizona is out. So even though they don't belong in, like. Can you at least throw them under consideration so I can see how bad we are?
All right. And we're living in a world where yes, Rutgers is in, and the two teams that played the national championship game last year are not on the board yet.
So. Okay. I'd like to add another Big Ten team, Illinois.
Whoa.
It's like there's another team under consideration here. Yeah. We've got Iowa, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Illinois all under consideration. But, Matt, do you want to give me the 8 line?
Yeah, okay, so I'll do. I think he had the wrong SEC team, so but at first I'd have Iowa. Leaving Memphis up there. I'd have Arkansas. I'd have BYU.
Whoa.
And actually going off my list, this is what I'm going a little bit of a limb. They're kind of a one-hit wonder, but I trust the coach, Texas Tech.
If Arkansas, BYU, Texas Tech, and one more team?
Oh, I had Iowa.
Iowa.
Actually, Iowa at the top, but yeah, it's
okay. Well, let's see here now. Stalika, how wrong was he?
If I were going to go with a one-hit wonder at the risk of angering Joby, I probably would have gone with Virginia Tech when you consider that win was against Michigan State, which is going to be better than Louisville. And suddenly wins at Clemson actually looking a little bit better. Even Syracuse, that does help the road wins that the Puppet seems to be looking for right here. They don't have too many bad losses right here. Granted, 5 is going to be a lot for Virginia Tech right now. So I think if they're not on the 8 line, they at least deserve a look.
Well, I think that's a real strong argument. When you look at these two profiles, I mean, that Virginia Tech profile, David, looks a lot better than Texas Tech, doesn't it?
Yeah, after last week, I kind of went back and looked at Texas Tech, and I kind of moved them down. I actually like Virginia Tech a little more as a team. But not just them. I didn't have BYU. They're inside my bubble, but I don't have them quite this high. Like, I don't have them certainly as a first ballot team.
Well, let's ask that question now. Tytel, how about that? BYU, do they belong up here?
Their X factor is Yoli Childs, who started the year with a suspension and then recently hurt his finger. So I think some of the losses can be explained away, not so much at Boise, God help them. I do like the head-to-head thing that if they beat Va Tech, then they should get some credit for that.
Only one road win, though, as opposed to Va Tech's 3 plus a neutral.
I'm telling you, like, Yoli Childs, like, if he's healthy, they would not have lost all those games. He's legit conference player of the year in a conference that includes St. Mary's and the Zags. Like, yeah. I think that the committee is going to give them a lot of credit for him for their losses when he was out.
But even I agree with that, Tydell, but you're talking about Utah and what are – I think their profile would look a little better, but the top of it would still be where it is.
How do we know?
Because we don't have BYU, like we don't have any of the teams that beat them in the field yet. So the top of the I'm not talking top. The top of their profile would still be what it is.
I really like that win at Houston too.
Houston win's great. Yeah, that's
hard to win at that place.
I have BYU in. I just didn't have them quite that high.
Well, Rocco, if we went with Arkansas, Virginia Tech, and Iowa here, who would be for the fourth team? Would you go BYU? Would you go Texas Tech? Would you go one of these other three teams we have under consideration there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to stick with Oklahoma. They're still the highest team on the board at this point for me.
We haven't
Virginia Tech. Yet. Virginia Tech. I think with their strength of schedule, as horrible as it is, you got to put them in here on the 8 or 9 line, or they're not in at all probably because they won't get one of the last spots.
That 3-17 non-conference strength of schedule for Virginia Tech is pathetic.
I have it as an 11 seed. So,
but Oklahoma
and Rocco's point has been proven out over the years. You can get away with the strength of schedule and get to the 8, 9, 10 spot with something in the 300s. But if you are right on the edge, NC State being Exhibit A last year, but there's other examples through the years, Syracuse, et cetera, you are in trouble and out. Virginia Tech, I do agree with everybody, is high enough to be ahead of that dangerous spot. But they better watch out if they slip up more often, like lose to an NIT team at Blacksburg, just like they lost in Charlottesville to an NIT team.
Well, Tytel, let me go back to you for the 9 line now and give you the chance to put your own team in the field.
Put them in. I think that we're going to hold on to beat Utah. I understand that, like, I don't know if they could beat the 5 of us on the road, but, like, they're a young team, and they're playing great tonight on offense. The defense is still not going to get them far in March.
And look at that 16 net, which just seems out of whack entirely.
Well, some would say that that's in line, and the GNG is out of whack, but I see it. They beat Illinois, and Illinois's got good numbers, so I like them here. Using the Yoli Childs argument, let's get BYU in here. And I agree that, like, Texas Tech should be in the mix, so I'm glad that Matt brought him up. I'm just not seeing it right here just yet. Like, well, it should be in consideration right here. And I don't know of anybody else who's, like, head and shoulders above. I can't believe that, like, I can't explain Virginia, and I can't explain Georgetown because they were so different last year, and now they're so there. I know Virginia doesn't belong here, but I want to put them in because, like, how do you fall off from champ to, like, play-in game?
Losing to Boston College.
We'll the NBA.
So is Virginia your choice here?
I know it's terrible. I'll put him in and let everybody else decide to take him out because
– All right. You know what? Joby, does Virginia belong here?
No. No. Hey, here's the thing. This – if Tytel had a time machine and we could somehow – prevent Florida State from guide one of those three pointers in, that Virginia missed and they beat Florida State, then yes, we'd be talking right here because that's a hell of a win, a road win against a protected seed. Virginia doesn't have, I mean, look at those wins. There's some wins against the field there, but it's the tier three losses.
So there's a win against the field there.
Yeah, Virginia is in a situation.
I think Arizona State's going to get very serious consideration, especially as they're playing Colorado right now.
Virginia's in a situation that caused us to discontinue what would have been a hilarious running joke.
Yes, but let's let me – Sleeka, what are your thoughts on this, and who should the fourth team be if we're not going, is it Texas Tech or is it somebody else?
I think we need to get Matt's Marquette team in here because I look at their overall profile. They are 12-5. Their best wins are going to be at home against Purdue and Villanova. Even wins against USC on a neutral floor, Kansas State on the road, and ripping Xavier's manhood away. Those are certainly going to be nice wins for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a real good pick. Matt, you want to say two thoughts about your Marquette team?
Yeah, I think this is 8-9 right where you belong. You didn't lose at home. If you didn't lose at home to Providence, you might be a couple of slots higher, but 8-9 is pretty fair.
Yeah, and the most important team point, Matt, is that your team is ranked below the Scarlet Knights.
I had that on my board, and it was right about 10 spots. I was arguing for your guys on the 6 line.
In fact, looking at everybody else on the panel here, my school is the highest ranked of all of our schools. So
I'm leaving.
I think Hal just froze over, but
on that note, David,
right? Jesus Christ! How is that happening? Oh no!
David, you want to give me the 10 line?
Not after that. Oh, God. Okay. The team that's been hanging out there forever, I have Texas Tech as the next one in. Everybody's going to have some warts, but like when you look at sort of the overall body of work, I had Georgetown here, Purdue, and this one's going to be crazy, but like when you look at the Big Ten and you look at how hard it is to win on the road in the Big Ten, I had to take a team that's actually winning some Big Ten road games, even though they've been struggling lately, and that's DePaul.
Let's take a look at the DePaul profile, and Rocco, I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Does DePaul belong in the field, and if so, do they belong right here on this 10 line?
I would love to say yes, but they haven't earned it. They haven't won a game in their league.
That's a problem. I can see.
Yeah. And I did get to see.
DePaul doing great, and then it turned to 2020.
Yeah.
Hey, but I mean, I was at the DePaul Villanova game on Tuesday night, and I mean, it's so impressive with Charlie Moore and Paul Reed, that 1-2 punch. I mean, they've got so much potential, and I think they got three home games coming up: Butler, Creighton, St. John's.
Yep.
And they get right back in it if they win two of those three. So definitely not off the radar, but not worthy as of today, unfortunately, for the Blue Demons and their new fans.
And look at this Providence loss. This is probably going to move up into Tier 2 very soon. It's going to make it all really a little better.
One point loss, over time to Nova, and it's just crushing. The Seton Hall game went back and forth. Was that an overtime game as well, or did Seton?
It wasn't overtime, but it was pretty close. And then Hall, the last 2-3 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I realized
they looked back.
Yeah, they haven't won a league game, but they've been. I don't know. I know that the results aren't there, but they have been at least looking like an NCAA tournament team. It's just unfortunately they lost all four.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we're not going to go DePaul, Matt, where would we go?
Well, let me pull up my board here. I have Houston.
You'd go Houston.
Yeah.
Houston's coming off of a couple bad losses too, Joby, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't. They won last Houston night. doesn't get inside.
They did pull out the game last night. Yeah.
I'll be very honest. Houston, and they're cursed by being in an American that's top heavy, but and then nothing. I mean, it's a cliff in the American. I feel like I'm not the Central Florida. Cincinnati's not good, and Houston just. I mean, look at that. There's not a tournament win there. Not even a sniff of a tournament.
I probably go a little bit more.
And Tulsa's a bad loss. I don't care if it's on the road. Tulsa's a bad loss. Worst loss in Oklahoma State at home, in my book.
Well, if we're not going to DePaul, we're not going Houston, Stalika, you got any other thoughts where we should be going?
I think we have to go to Bloomington, at least take a long look at Indiana here.
Actually, Thank you.
They can't win Big Ten road games.
Well, Papa, at this point, no one is winning road games.
DePaul is.
I have to at least give the Hoosiers some credit for beating Ohio State and Florida State, and even – I guess a quasi-road game against UConn and Madison Square Garden, I can give a little bit of points for that.
I'd like to comment. I actually had Indiana over them because I had Indiana 33, so I'm like, I think I must have thought they were already in the field.
Yeah, no, I like that Indiana pick. I think that's where we should go, and we do want to keep things moving because we're starting to run out of time. So, Rocco, can you give me the 11 line? We do have Virginia, DePaul, and Houston under consideration at this point.
Okay, yeah, I'll start with Houston.
Okay. You're putting Houston back in again. All right. Yes.
And I will go Northern Iowa. Not quite. Sorry, Chad.
That wasn't me.
I'll go with the Florida Gators next.
Okay.
And I will go NC State.
NC State to round that group out. Ty, tell your thoughts on that.
I would put Liberty under consideration because that was fantastic and because, like, they're looking like one of the best, if not the best, mid-major teams in America. Look at all those – don't look at the strength of schedule. Look at everything else. I think that I haven't watched Northern Iowa enough to know if they're legit, obviously.
You haven't watched them barely pull out a bunch of wins against teams that they should be blowing out. So
yeah,
I'm sure nobody wants to play them who's on the sixth line and stuff. So I think that's fine. And nobody else is jumping off the page to me that has to be in now. Like, you can have St. Mary's under consideration, I think, but it's just an exercise at this point.
Yeah. So you agree with him that Houston belongs in?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you that they're trending downward, but that's because they think we're like in the 8-9 line. I don't think they were like on the cusp and are now out. I think they're still in the mix.
Okay.
I had Florida way out, but.
Well, let me bring up Florida here because I kind of agree. I think Florida is right here, which is we are on the bubble. We are on the teams that are barely making it to the field. Quick look at the Florida profile, though. And Matt, does Florida belong in? They don't have anything in tier one. In tier one, but they've got a lot of tier two wins and no bad losses.
Yeah, actually, this is basically where I had Florida like 39 or 40. So this is okay. Good. I was really rolling with Rocco till he mentioned NC State. We're doing great. And you know, the team, I think we're talking them even before the show. I'm bringing up the Golden Gophers.
Did NC State lose?
I am pulling a Kyle Lamb and trying to get a 12th Big Ten team in here.
They have no road wins.
NC State's lost the game at Vatek.
This week?
Well, they beat Miami this week at home. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm good with NC State still.
Okay. I agree. I think we're going to leave this alone here.
And really, I can defend that. So a lot of these teams, I went through all this Monday morning, and there's so many of these teams on the bubble that you can justify one game here, one game there on their profile. So what you really got to look at is really the full – what's their record against the top two quadrants? What's their record against the top three? And there's barely any that are over 500, and NC State's one of them. And I think that's enough to break the tie for teams like them and a couple others that we'll bring up here in a minute.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put Minnesota under consideration also. We have three at-large spots left. I'm going to go, Slika, you're up next. I'm just going to ask you for two teams at this point. Give me the top two teams, and we'll see if we drop down to one or two spots left, depending on whether or not you put Liberty in.
If I'm going to be looking for teams that offend me the least, I'm going to go ahead and go on both coasts here. I'll give some West Coast love to St. Mary's, and I'll give St. John some East Coast love.
Oh, you're going to a team that's not even on our board at this point with the Johnnies. Wow. I think, Joby, I heard you an objection from you on that.
Yeah, no. No. I mean, the DePaul sitting there. I actually like DePaul more than I like the Johnnies, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, I don't love either, you know, but I definitely like DePaul more.
Yeah, I know St. John's beat DePaul, but as I remember, but the, yeah. I'm more in the road wins against the Big Ten crowd, you know, and we'll see if DePaul's record evens out in the Big East. At this stage, we're early enough in conference that 0-3 or whatever they are is not going
for.
Oh, their record even that in the Big East, they would be solid.
But if they wind up, but if they wind up, I know conference record and, you know, a definitive thing within it, but yeah, if they wind up whatever would be 6-12 in conference, yeah, that's a problem. I need to see it first, though. So I'll go to
Paul. Yeah, if you're going to go with a team that's 0-4 in the Big East, I'd rather go with a team that's 0-4 in the Big East with those big road wins than a team that's 1-4 in the Big East without any big road wins. So I'm kind of with you on knocking the Johnnies back out here.
I'm serious on Liberty here.
Well, let me ask Mr. Tytel, is Liberty the team that we should be putting in here then?
I like Toby's argument. Yes, I do.
Okay, we're going to put Liberty in. Unfortunately, that doesn't actually get us another – we still have to put two more teams in because Liberty would be the automatic bid winner as the top team in their conference. So, Rocco, let me
– is DePaul in or not?
DePaul is not in yet. We have Virginia, DePaul, the Johnnies, and Minnesota under consideration. We left St. Mary's in. We put Liberty in place of St. John's. Let me go at you to Matt. Matt, why don't you give me the next team? Let's go with one team at a time here for these last two.
Because I have them, Minnesota is my top remaining team, so okay. Minnesota.
Okay. David, Minnesota, do they belong in?
I don't think so because of no road wins, and I mean zero. I do have a team that I have really high up that isn't on the board, and I realize it's a lot of empty calories, but if we're going to take empty calories Liberty, why not look at the Beavers, who have beaten some teams that we already have in the field, including a win at Colorado.
Rocco, what about the Beavers? Do they belong in?
Got to go back to that non-conference straight to schedule point that we made about Virginia Tech. They're in the mid 300s. It's just a non-starter for me. They're going to have to get a couple big wins on the road, and they got a chance tonight at UW. So
we just put Liberty in.
Well, they're going to win their conference. That's fine. I'm a little bit my next team up is VCU. I know they've lost two in a row. I'm okay with them losing at Dayton. They should lose at Dayton. The home loss to Rhode Island's a little bit of a yellowish red flag. But I still think overall the profile can hold up against my next couple VCU, teams.
They would be my next team, I think, after Minnesota.
Can I put Oregon State and VCU on the board here too? Let me go over to Tytel. We're trying to figure out two more teams here. This should be loading in a second now. We should be getting VCU's profile on the right there. What about the team I just pulled with the left here, USC?
I like them, too.
Did everybody forget about them?
They're my next team after VCU.
Yeah. Tytel?
I did not forget about them. I'm hoping that Arizona can have some decent success against them because God knows we're going to need all the wins we can get.
I have VCU waiting on the list.
I I'll defer to Joby, not to keep pushing the Hoos, but how great would it be to see the defending champs in the first four?
It would be hilarious and fun.
Can we get there against Texas Tech there?
Yeah, it'd be funny to play VCU or,
Oh, that would be awesome.
The better team, I'll be honest, a team Virginia beat, there's a number of teams. And you're under consideration board. Is just a mile long. USC's my favorite out of everybody sitting there. I like Georgia. I like in this spot. I like Georgia. I like Arizona State. Sorry, Tytel. I know that's, heresy. But, there are a lot of teams that I think, these one-hit wonders or et cetera, or haven't done a lot bad, like a Richmond. Yeah. They beat Wisconsin. Let's talk, that sort of thing.
I'm going to put those two profiles up here also, the Georgia and Arizona State. We've run out of room on the under consideration board. Don't know where to put them at this point. Stalika, what do you think of the cases here for these one-hit wonders of Georgia and Arizona State at this point in the season?
I think if I had to compare the two right here, I would probably give Georgia the slightest of edges, not only the win at Memphis, but they also get a win at home.
Would you even put them in the field, though, Georgia?
I would probably be less offended with putting a team like Georgia in as opposed to – I don't have anything. Minnesota. Any other comment?
Yeah. I've heard some teams. Love for USC, and I've heard a lot of love for DePaul, David. I mean, is that the way we should go? Should we go USC-DePaul for the last two spots?
I am fine with that. I like I certainly like DePaul. I think they should be in. I like USC more than most of the teams on the board. I like Oregon State a little bit more, but only a little bit.
Well, I like VCU if we're going for kind of a compromise.
VCU, I don't pull up VCU again. What is it that they've done? I can't.
Yeah, Matt, can you defend that? Because I don't see the VCU. I just don't see it.
I guess I'm just going off what I think they should be, a little bit the metrics.
One win against the field, it was a home win against LSU.
Arizona State, we've got to put them in.
Well, but I'm not putting Arizona State in. When you go with DePaul, they got the win at Iowa. They got, they've got the road wins. Let me throw a couple more teams up here just to finish out the 12 line. I'm going to put East Tennessee State in as our SoCon champion. I'm going to put a
good East Tennessee State team.
Stephen F. Austin.
No, I'm going to put Yale in over Stephen F. Austin on the 12 line, actually. It's just my personal call. And quickly fill in here fill in the 13 through 16 line, starting with, I think, Stephen F. Austin, Akron, Louisiana Tech, Colgate.
If you're a fan of these teams, we do cover them. It's on the Under the Radar podcast. Right. So.
William & Mary getting their first bid ever, despite being in D1 since its inception. Congrats to them. All the way down to Norfolk State at the bottom there. But on that note, I want to run through each of you here. Give me your thoughts on what we did tonight, on on teams that you think we may have completely whiffed on that we never even got under consideration, or just things that you think are just egregious that we may have done. Let me start with Matt. Let me start with you.
Yeah, the one I'm glad we said Virginia, because actually I don't think Virginia is as far out as we think. And if the offense could get together at all, because they defend so well, yeah, that basically if Walden AC could actually start hitting shots like he did at the JUCO level, you might have something wrong. And like, I'm not going to write Tony Bennett off just yet. And the ACC is no good this year. So like, basically, if they crack one of the top three of the Duke, they almost got Florida State. Duke, Florida State, Louisville, get one of those, and then basically hold serve. I still kind of think Virginia's going to find a way in this field.
All right. Well, Tytel, since you were the big proponent of Virginia, why don't I go to you next?
I mean, I understand that they're not in today, and they've been terrible, like, for 6 weeks. I'm just telling you that, like, I really think that as much as I trust the committee to focus on the paper and the numbers, I think at least in the back of their mind, if not the front, they will want the defending champ in this tournament. Additionally, I don't think any of those teams on the five line want to see Liberty playing in a 5-0 game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Joby.
Yeah, it is interesting. We'll stay on the Virginia train that when we talk Liberty, you know, Richie McKay was Bennett's longtime assistant, and that's where he's inside that large field right now, and Virginia's not. But on that note, it's interesting when you see Northern Iowa on the 11 line, Liberty on the 12 line. This is last year, Buffalo and Wofford at this stage were not 11 and 12s. Buffalo and Wofford were higher up.
Yeah,
a little more, but not a – now, the SoCon's better than what either the MVC or the Atlantic Sun is. But I think we're underrating, and maybe the committee will too, because there was a lot of pub around Buffalo and Wofford. But I think we're underrating what a very good record and clean wins will do for you. I really do. These two teams, watch out for Northern Iowa and Liberty. And I do agree, Chad, Northern Iowa is probably almost more at risk than Liberty because they play with fire, like against Missouri State and a few others. But these teams do have a chance to move up as others accumulate losses. But then you have the situation that happened to East Tennessee State a few years ago. You get that one bad loss, and it's unforgivable because of the lack of wins. Let's see what happens. I think it's an interesting play with Northern Iowa and Liberty as we – and I'll even throw in East Tennessee State as we go forward.
Salika.
Do me a favor and pull up the profiles here because I want to get Dayton up one more time because this is going to be a team that's going to have a crucial game tomorrow night. This is probably going to be, I think, the last game that they really have more than a 50-50 shot of losing. And let's pull up the St. Louis profile because, mm-hmm. as we all know, it is Arch Baron Cup time tomorrow night. Because I think Obi Toppin is going to end up winning the Harewood Horse Trophy as the MVP for this one here. When I look at the Billikens right here, it's also kind of a meh profile. It's one that might get a few looks as far as at-large consideration, but this would be a monster chance for the Billikens to get some points here.
Yeah, I think they need more than this Dayton win, though. And I don't know that they have the chances other than another game against Dayton. Rocco.
Yeah, I want to bring it back to the top of the show when we were debating number one seeds. I think it brings up an interesting situation that will continue to persist all season as long as San Diego State stays undefeated and Gonzaga doesn't take any brutal losses in the WCC, and Oregon stays in the top two seed lines. I think it's a really interesting scenario because if you're San Diego State and you're behind Gonzaga, you actually would probably prefer to be a two seed and stay in the West than be a one seed and stint to the Midwest, perhaps with Butler in Indianapolis with you, or maybe with Duke being in the same region in Houston. So that's something to monitor if they end up staying in the situation. I think odds are, a Baylor or Kansas wins the Big 12, you get Duke probably win the ACC, and a third team emerges maybe from the Big East, like a Seton Hall, to take one of those opportunities away from San Diego State. But something to keep in mind because as an Aztec person you would want to probably just be the two in the West, given the choice. And that would actually, in this situation that we put together, this would actually make Oregon fans very happy, because they would be staying in the West because of the fact that San Diego State jumped up so high.
Yeah, I guess
Oregon is in the process of staying in the West right now.
It'd be interesting, an undefeated San Diego State team versus this Gonzaga profile, because I think I would like the San Diego State profile at the end of the season better than Gonzaga if that happens, even if both teams win out.
What Gonzaga, that means, what that mean wins well, is both St. Mary's and BYU.
It would.
Well, they're playing all those games in February as well. Gonzaga's February schedule is completely loaded. So we'll see if they can survive all those. They haven't played like the dominant team they were last year, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, David, you want to finish the show up?
What was my final thought? What was my final thought?
Well, on that,
I can't. Yeah, on that note, let's just. But kind of like what something that Joby was saying earlier. Like it's last year, it seems like we had a lot of teams from the under the radar conferences, and I know we made this comment the other night that were inside the bubble, and we actually had two, not one, but two, land in the top half of the bracket last year, and it seems
three
like less
than Gonzaga, just as a note, you know.
The West Coast is a multi-bid league. This year, it seems like they're hovering around the bubble at best. And if you watch Northern Iowa, they're playing against sub-NIT teams from night to night to night, and they are winning but not winning impressively. I'll give you Liberty. They're running all over their conference, but I don't think they have but maybe one top 200 opponent for the rest of the year, and that team's like in the 190s. So, you know, are we going to go from – 1 year where we had multiple teams way inside the bubble to potentially not having any this year for under the radar?
It very well could happen. Keep an eye on Yale, though. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. And let's see here. If you want to see the final bracket and all the potential matchups, just look down there below. And you can check it all out now. But on behalf of, let me run through everybody here, David Griggs and Matt Sikowski up top here. We got John Sleeker way down at the bottom. We got Rocco Miller, Bracketeer.org, and John Titel. Joby Fortson in the center square. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will be back again real soon.